Everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for downloading this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. Another new one for you today. This time, Robert Homan, the co-founder and CEO of Glassdoor, one of the world's biggest job and recruiting sites, probably best known as the site where you can rate your employer and get salary information from different companies. Before co-founding Glassdoor, though, Robert was the president of Hotwire, the discount travel site. He started as a software engineer at Microsoft.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Robert Homan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kai. Thanks for having me.
So 10 years ago, you've been through Microsoft, you've been through Hotwire, Expedia, all those companies, and you decided to do this. Why?
Well, it was because we thought that where you go to work is probably one of the most important decisions that you make in your life. And how much you get paid for it really matters to, you know, most people. And before Glassdoor, maybe you were lucky enough to know one person you could ask what it was like to work at a company you were interviewing at. But, like, that's a sample of one. And we felt like, yet it's all in people's heads walking around. We felt like, man, if we could build a safe place where everyone could talk about what's great about their workplaces and what needs work, and also tell people how much they make, that would be an incredible resource to job seekers trying to figure out where to go to work. So could we do that? And that's how Glassdoor was born.
What was it about salary, right? Why is that the nugget there?
Well, in 2007, when we started building this, you have to remember there was really poor information on what fair salary was. We a lot of us, I think, take for granted now that this information is pretty readily available on the internet, thanks to Glassdoor and some other services. But before that, you know, I remember when I started at Microsoft, I had no idea what fair pay was for my role. Like, I asked a guy who had graduated a couple years before me, but he wasn't quite in the same job. And so, you know, and this has been a pattern in companies that I've worked at, is in that negotiation, the employer has all the power because they have all the information around what they pay, and you, the job seeker, have almost no power. In travel and in Expedia, prior to what I worked on prior to this, travel agents had so much power because as someone booking travel prior to online travel, you knew really kind of nothing. And so what Expedia was really about was putting into the hands of normal people all the availability, all the pricing, so you could be your own travel agent. Glassdoor was about leveling that information asymmetry.
This skips down a little bit in my list of questions, but it seems like, given where we are now with transparency on a lot of things, not just salary, but cultural norms inside a workplace and sexual harassment inside a workplace and all that, it seems you got your timing pretty right. I mean, you had a little head start. You started with salary, and now you're at a place where transparency is a value and a virtue that people are looking for in employment.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a wave that has been 20 years building that maybe is cresting now. The internet and the democratization of information, I really do think, is this inexorable force. And that's a great thing, because it has enabled things like, you know, like Glassdoor and for people to communicate. And it's a challenging thing, I think, for society too, as you know, we're going through right now, with because it can be manipulated. It's a wonderful thing. It's a force that I do think is unstoppable, but it's one that I think helps people ultimately live better lives and make better decisions.
Do you get companies and or CEOs calling you up and saying, wait, this review or this salary isn't right, or how did you let that comment on? I mean, what degree of pushback do you get, and how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. When we first launched, we made what turned out to be a seminal decision. We decided to pre-moderate all information before it went onto the site. So everything that was going to go onto Glassdoor, a human would be scrutinized in one way or another before it would go live on the site. And we actually didn't intend to keep that. We just wanted to do that for like the first week. But it turned out we learned so much from reading every piece of content, and we began to understand what should be fair game in our community and what the rules and norms should be, that we committed to doing that over time. And so we've continued to do that. And that's very different, I think, than most most social media sites. And we can afford to do it because the volume is such that sorry, this question I answered poorly.
Well, no,
what was the question? I lost track.
So I'll tell you what.
What was the question? I lost track.
No, well, it happens to me all the time. Don't worry about it. But I'll tell you what. We're going to leave this in the edit because you raised an interesting point that I want to ask you about. You said things like community and social media. And I have always looked at Glassdoor, no offense here, as a service, right? It's a thing I go to when I want to look stuff up or I'm curious about stuff. It's not. I'm not looking for, like, Facebook, right?
Well, I guess it depends on what your definition of social media is. It's not networking. That's true. Yeah. But it is fundamentally people helping other people with information that they couldn't do on their own. And we couldn't do either. That was the true power of Glassdoor. Because before Glassdoor, there were companies that would write reviews on companies. And they'd have research teams that would go out and try and, you know, understand a company and then write, like, is it good or bad or whatever. And we said, let's build a platform where people can help each other in a way and at a scale that we couldn't possibly do ourselves.
But now it's become something else, right? Because you're a billion-dollar company. You just got sold, right, to a Japanese firm. You're obviously making money. There's a whole corporate angle to what you do, and it's kind of moved away from, listen, let's let people figure out what the salary ought to be at this next job they're going to get.
Well, our mission literally from the beginning was we wanted to help people find a job and company they love. That's been it since the beginning. We're pretty lucky, I think, in that our mission has been – we've been able to pull on that same thread throughout. And that meant collecting all of this rich information about, you know, what's great about a company, what needs work, how much to pay, et cetera. But also we discovered that when you put that in the context of all of the jobs in a market, it made a great job-seeking tool. And so 9 out of 10 people that use Glassdoor today use it to search for jobs. And then they read reviews and they look at the salary and they prep for their interview there. But about 60 million people a month use our service to look for a job. And so we've become one of the world's largest jobs and recruiting sites.
This is a little sideways, but is a tight labor market good for you business-wise? Must be, right? Well, more people out there hustling trying to find a job when jobs are right?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, tight labor markets are good for recruiting services for sure. You know, it's hard being a company actually trying to hire in this market.
Well right. So double-edged sword. Yeah.
Because, man, it's crazy. So hard.
Well, tell me more about that. I mean, you're in, you know, Silicon Valley adjacent, as it were, up in North Bay. I mean, is it still tough for you to find people up there?
Oh, the Bay Area is just absolutely bananas. You know, I mean, unemployment nationwide is at a historic low at about 3.7%. We have, you know, nearly every job available in the country, so we can see that we're at a record high number of unfilled jobs at about 7 million right now. So, you know, the economy is running super, super hot. And yeah, as a tech company trying to hire into that market, it's just absolutely crazy, and salaries just march up month after month. At some point, it's going to be unsustainable.
Well, let me go further down that road with you there, Mr. Recruiting and Job Services Company guy. What's it going to look like when finally companies realize that they're going to have to raise wages and hire more people?
Yeah, I think that the wage raising we're definitely seeing in tech already, that has to inevitably, I think, come and probably be translated to inflation. And as you know, has been talked much about, we are way overdue for a recession. You know, typical cycle between recessions is about 55 months. We're at 110 now. It's the longest in our recorded U.S. recorded history. And so, you know, it's coming. I think the question we don't know is, will it be a deep recession or a soft recession, and how long will it last, and all those good things.
Yeah. A word here about you. Do you still write code for this platform? I read somewhere that you still go home at night and still code.
It's funny you asked that. So I am a software engineer originally, and I worked on the first Glassdoor. I am back to writing code. I am. It's really, you know, it's people ask me, and I got scolded for it, you know, as a CEO over the years, because, you know, they'd say, we need a CEO, not another software engineer. But you know what I've discovered? It's sort of like my painting. You know, it's just like I need a creative outlet. Yeah. And that's what coding is for me. Keeps me sane.
Yeah, no, I get that. What was it, though, about starting a company, right? Because you went to work for Microsoft, and granted, it was, you know, early-ish, right? It was like 2000 or something. It was big, but not a behemoth. But you've said you always wanted to be an entrepreneur. How come? What is it about starting a business that did it for you?
Yeah, I read a book on Steve Jobs when I probably was a freshman in college or something, and I was just so fascinated with this concept of creating something from nothing. And that idea of just going on that journey of starting from, you know, just ground zero and building a big thing just fascinated me. And so I think leaving college, though, I felt like I think this happens for a lot of technical people, is I just felt like I didn't have enough, experience to actually start a company. I had no idea how to hire a marketer or how to hire a salesperson. And so I thought, okay, I'll go to Microsoft. And this was actually 93. And I will try and learn some of those things. And that worked pretty well. I got a lot of exposure to what great looks like, which is what I think an entrepreneur needs. You need to at least know, what does a great marketer look like? What does a great salesperson look like? What does a great lawyer look like? So that you know where to set the bar.
What's your stress level?
It's a heck of a lot less now.
How come now?
Well, I mean, we are part of Recruit, which is the world's largest recruiting company. We were on the cusp of going public. We had this, what is a great choice between becoming a public company or joining the world's largest recruiting company. And we chose to become part of Recruit.
Why?
Because fundamentally, the problem I'm trying to solve, helping people everywhere find a job and company they love, has a huge scale component. We need to have tremendous resources to be able to reach all corners of the globe. The data that we collect, the more data we have, the better that we can match people to companies. And I had always worried that as big as we are, at 60 million people visiting us a month, we were still too small to be able to really compete on a global stage. And so my concern was, specifically, too, my concern was we would be a, mid-size public company at the end of an economic expansion and a recruiting company to boot. And that's probably not a very fun place to be as a public company. And frankly, as part of Recruit, when this recession comes, we likely will be able to invest heavily and not miss a beat. Whereas as a small public company, we probably would have had, could have had a rough time of it.
So now you've got scale, right? Or the potential for scale. You've got the potential for international expansion. You've got this company Recruit saying it's going to operate you independently and you're going to do your own thing. What does Glassdoor look like in, like 5-ish years when we've been through the next economic downturn and people are starting to pick back up again?
I think there's two things that I hope we will have accomplished. One is we'll continue our international expansion. So we're in 15 countries right now. We're adding about a dozen this year, but we've probably got another realistically 30, 40, 50 countries to add, which I hope we will have done by then and bring this service to those countries. And then secondly, we're working really hard to try and reinvent the way that people get hired and that they find jobs. It's so inefficient still, the way this dance that we go through to get a job. And we have lots of ideas about how to make that smoother and better for both job seekers and companies. And I hope that some of those are really off to, a strong start within 5 years.
That seems like that's like an Elon Musk level of ambition, right? In figuratively speaking, he wants to go to Mars and all of that. You want to change a fundamental piece of capitalism?
Well, I guess you're right in some ways. We don't have to leave the planet, which is comforting, but it is huge. And I've always been inspired by it too, because I feel like if we can even get a little bit of progress in that, like we literally will add to GDP. Think of how much productivity is lost by companies because they make poor hiring decisions and how much pain and heartache people suffer because they end up in the wrong job and it just doesn't work out. But through it just doesn't work out. They're in the wrong place. And I think we can relieve a lot of suffering and we can add a lot to GDP if we can figure this out.
Robert Homan. He's one of the co-founders, also the CEO of Glassdoor. Robert, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kai.
That was it, my conversation with Robert Homan, the CEO of Glassdoor, co-founder there as well. And thanks for listening. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do choose to get your podcast. Leave us a review if you would. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Daisy Palacios. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the Executive Director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the Senior Vice President and General Manager. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Another episode for you in a couple of weeks.